This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We've been working to bring you different perspectives on the ballot proposals you'll be seeing on Election Day. Today, we'll hear from the executive director of a conservative group which opposes approval of Proposal 2. That's the proposal to take the power of drawing the legislative and congressional maps from politicians and instead give it to an independent commission. Tony Daunt is the executive director of the Michigan Freedom Fund, and he joins us now. Welcome to Stateside.
Hey, hello. Thanks for having me.
You wrote an opinion piece in Bridge Magazine opposing Proposal 2. What are your main concerns?
Well, there are numerous concerns with this proposal, but the four main ones that we have focused on that I think taxpayers should be aware of is that this is costly, it is unaccountable, it is complex, and it is unfair. And taken just under those four items, it's bad policy. But when you look at the idea of putting it in the Constitution, it's a dangerous experiment that we shouldn't be undertaking here in Michigan.
One of your criticisms of Proposal 2 is the people who are excluded from participating in the redistricting commission. What problems do you see there?
Well, this proposal purports to it wants to get more people involved. It wants to take things out of the hands of politicians and put it in the hands of people, get people civically engaged. But when you look at the language of the proposal, it is intentionally excluding hundreds of thousands of people, if not upwards of a million, who are already civically engaged in the state of Michigan. And not just those people, but their family members. So if you are active in, let's say, your local county party, whether that's a Republican or Democrat, and, you get involved, you like to make a difference, you're forbidden from participating in this commission. But not just you, but your spouse, your parents, your children, and any step-parents or step-children you may have. We wouldn't accept that kind of discrimination based on ethnicity, on gender, on age. We shouldn't accept it based on who you're related to.
Well, it specifically calls for 4 Republican voters, 4 Democrat voters, and 5 independents. What's wrong with that kind of balance?
Well, perhaps we could talk about the balance and whether or not that's appropriate. It purports to be an independent commission, but if you look at the math, out of 13, 8 of them are partisan. So I don't think you could, under any understanding of how math works, contend that that really is independent. But
I think what they're saying, though, is we don't have party officials, just people who vote in that manner. Do you see a distinction there? I'm trying to figure out why that wouldn't – one would be okay, but the other wouldn't.
There's a distinction between a state representative or a state senator or a governor and somebody who is a precinct delegate at the most basic level of elected office here in the state of Michigan. People run for precinct delegate to be involved, to help their party, at the local level. And if we want people to be involved, we shouldn't be excluding people who are already involved in the process.
Since Michigan is about 50-50 Republican voters and Democratic voters, and the state legislature and the congressional delegation is overwhelmingly Republican, do you think the current system works?
I think that the current system certainly has some things that we should be discussing in terms of how to possibly fix them. But ultimately, what we're faced with is a choice on whether or not we should vote yes or vote no on Proposal 2. And when you look at the cost, when you look at the complexity of this proposal, the unaccountability, the unfairness that I've mentioned, it's clear that you should vote no. And maybe have a conversation down the road, but this is not the solution for Michigan.
Well, down the road would mean that we'd have the same system we have during this next redistricting. And as Joel Kurth recently reported, the redistricting process last time was controlled by political operatives in secret, paid for by a group led by Michigan Chamber of Commerce officials. I mean, is that the best way to do it?
Both parties will utilize a system to their advantage. And as a conservative, I am skeptical of government. I am skeptical of politicians. And again, I think it's worth having a conversation. We still have a couple more years before there is another census and before lines are drawn. Plenty of time to scrap this complex mess and start over and work with the legislature, show them that, there is an appetite for something to be done. But this is not it. And let's go back to the drawing board.
Do you like the idea of an independent commission? Because there are other places, other states that do it a little differently, and they've been fairly happy with what they have.
Well, I mean, happiness is, I guess, who you're asking. And, you can make statistics work in your favor regardless of your position. I think we all see politicians doing that. And this system is built very closely on what California has. And if you look back at an article from a nonpartisan group called ProPublica from 2011, when California tried this after theirs was passed following the 2010 cycle and census, you had the same kind of partisan shenanigans that take place under the current system. And, you know, politics is inherently political, and there's always going to be people on both sides seeking to maximize their advantage. And the founders built things a certain way, and I think it's a modern conceit that we can do things better than them now.
They didn't tell us how to redistrict. They just said the states had to do it. Do you think there's a fair way to draw the legislative and congressional maps without political party controlling process?
You know, fairness is such a subjective term. And obviously there are going to be people, even when one party holds the lines, draws the lines, people within their own party are going to be upset because of how they're drawn. But again, you know, without getting too far into the weeds on this, because I think it's a complex enough topic as it is, what we're faced with is a proposal on our ballot that we need to determine, are we going to vote yes or vote no? And when you look at the fact that this thing is a blank check to the commission, there's nothing in the 3,200 words of this proposal that establishes a maximum for what the commissioners can be paid, for what they can spend on for a budget. And, you know, it may be one thing to protect citizens and this commission from politicians, but there's nothing in there that protects the taxpayers from the commission. And that is a disqualifying aspect of it.
I take your point on that. At the same time, it's a completely transparent process, so taxpayers will be able to see where the money was going and why it was going there.
Even if, you know, you stipulate to that it being that transparent, again, this is just theory, and ultimately in a proposal that's 3,200 words long, fully one half of the entirety of the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, there's going to be problems. There's going to be unintended consequences. And even if we determine we're able to see where all the money goes, if they spend $20 million, if they spend $50 million on this, there's no way to hold them accountable. They are accountable to no one. They're accountable to themselves and themselves only. At least with the current process, we're able to hold the legislature accountable. The legislature votes on these, the governor signs them, and then there are the potential for court battles. All of those steps are people that we can vote in or out of office. No such accountability measures in place for Proposal 2.
Tony Daunt is the executive director of the Michigan Freedom Fund and the author of an opinion piece you can find on the Bridge Magazine website. Thanks for taking the time.
You bet. Thank you, Lester.